I can ask, I need two men to get, I already asked them to help me. Luke and Tim, would you come forward, please? Oh, don't come forward empty-handed. Would you each bring three songbooks with you? Can you go bring three songbooks apiece while we're turning to Revelation? Does anyone have a testimony? Any other testimonies? I tell you, if you include the praise of God in your prayer, if you missed last night, this is the deal. If you'll just praise God first and make that your priority, your praying just gets a whole lot sweeter. Yes, Amy, go ahead.
I do want to praise God. I got a text from my dad today, and he's down in Florida in his condo, and you know, some family members are down there, and he's telling me how they're going to go and get some gear and do this. And today's Ash Wednesday, and he had to get his ashes. And it kills me to know that, because I was brought up Catholic, that you know, that I don't have to do that anymore.
Amen.
That I have a Savior that I can just go to. I don't have to do all these rituals.
Amen.
And I just want to praise God that He saved me.
Amen.
Amen. And you don't have to beat your conscience back with alcohol either.
That's right.
Amen. Great. Anyone else? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Amen.
Anyone else?
I feel the same way as her.
Amen, sister. I say so. So. Let the read. Let's all. Amen. All right, we're going to have a little illustration, then we're going to get into the sermon. Just, this isn't part of the sermon, just something that maybe makes it interesting. You look, we got two handsome young men here, right? These two, not me, right? You got two. Which of these young men, now, I think it's pretty obvious, and it's not being better or worse, but which of these young men would you think is physically stronger? Who would you want to like wrestle and fight, right? Who would it be? Well, my money's with Tim. He's taller, his muscles are longer, and so on. And Luke will get there by and by, but for now, it looks like Tim's about twice his height and a little stronger.
But Luke was Tim.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. They each have the same, they have three songbooks, right? Not a heavy burden, is it?
No.
I mean, it's okay. So here's what I want you to look at. You're sitting right over here. I want you to hold those books like that. How do you have it? It's small burden, right? Mm-hmm. Can you hold on to them? Can you just stand there and still hold them? All right. Tim, there's no lead. Those are regular books, right? Just pick them up. I want you to also hold these, okay? Can you hold them with one hand? Can you hold them with your hand up, with your arm up, all the way up. They're both holding the same burden, right? But you'll notice that even though one appears stronger, that there's a difference. One of these is going to fail by and by. Can you guess which one? You think the smaller guy is going to fail first?
No.
Well, why not? What's the difference? The difference is this, and this is the material point. Now, maybe Tim is a pretty strong kid, so he might hold out there for a while. And you know what happened out there after a while? It'll get kind of heavy, even though the three books. Whereas Luke, you know the difference between him and Luke? Luke's holding his burden closer to his core, to his body. Point is, the farther you, when you have a burden and you're outside the body, the farther you are away from your core, from your strength. When you go out on your own and do your own thing, right? When you go out there, you have some little burden. And you think you're strong. But that little burden, because you're far away from the body, gets pretty heavy pretty quick. Whereas if you're just a humble little person, or whatever Luke's character is, if you can keep, just like we heard tonight, when we share our burdens and we love one another and we pray for one another, you're bringing those burdens close to the bag, and you'll be strong. You'll still be standing this time next year, and so on and so forth. Go out. It's the same burden, but it's away from the body. And boy, it gets pretty heavy, doesn't it? How's it feeling, Tim? Is it getting really heavy? How you doing, Luke? You all right? You can hang out for another 20 minutes?
No.
You guys may go. Okay, thank husband, you know Susie? Susie's husband had been slipping in and out of a coma for several months. Ladies, this is really touching. This is for the ladies. Things looked grim. But she was by his bedside every day. I know this is a true story. I found it on the internet. One day, this is a very touching story. One day, as he slipped back into consciousness, he motioned for her to come close to him. He pulled a chair close to the bed and leaned her ear close to be able to hear him. "You know," he whispered, trying to gather what little strength he had left, and tears filling his eyes, "you know, you have been with me through all the bad times. When I got fired, you stuck right beside me. When my business went under, there you were. When we lost the house, there were you were there. When I got shot, you stuck with me. When my heart was failing, you are still by my side." And now his strength is fading, and you know, it's his few last words, and he said, "And do you know what?" "What, dear?" he asked gently, smiling to herself. "I think you're bad luck." Day, but see, I can pull that because Lucy's not here. And don't say anything. Vietnamese are sardonic people. They keep their money in their pocket. They don't carry wallets because wallets get lifted. They just carry enough money for, you know, what they need for the day because stealing is so prevalent. They have a little joke. On all the money, they handed out a bill to a young man here recently. On all the money is Bác Hồ's picture, Ho Chi Minh's picture. They try to make a deity out of Ho Chi Minh, the communist nation's founder. So all the money has Ho's picture, so they keep their money here in their pocket. And they say, "Teacher, Uncle Ho is near to my heart." We're going to talk about money tonight. They say it doesn't grow on trees, but I don't know. If money doesn't grow on trees, then why do banks have branches? Two coins add up to 30 cents. One is not a nickel. What are they?
Quarter and a nickel.
Yeah, that's right. One's not a nickel because it's a quarter. All right. I want to continue to change with your permission. I want to touch on a sensitive subject. Money's a sensitive subject. There's a few subjects that are really, you kind of go with, you know, really carefully. One is training your children. You know, you don't raise children, you train them, right? You raise hogs and grain, you train children. But you really have to be careful. It has to be with love, because that's a mismanaged that training. The wall goes up really quick. Right? People are very sensitive about that. They're very sensitive about money. But I want to change the way you think about money. And I think it'll be profitable for you. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17, I love the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ to churches, to John, and he writes to churches. And I like that. I feel like I'm kind of like John in this respect, because I visit a lot of churches. I have. I've slowed down a little bit. I'm kind of getting tired of all that business, but I like to see each church is different. Amen? It's okay. They're all a little different. When Jesus Christ revealed himself to the seven churches, each time he revealed himself, he revealed a different part of him that the other churches didn't know. We have the luxury of reading all seven descriptions. You know, one time, you know, his eyes were fire and his hair, you know, and he's this and he's that, and all the different characteristics of Jesus Christ. If you only were at the one church, you would only know that one part of him. But because we can read the whole book, we can see all the it's really, like, interesting. You can see the chapters of the book. It's really, really fun. I can see it, for example, Black Creek Baptist Church. I enjoy it here, and I see the Lord Jesus Christ working with you, in you. It's good. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not the same as it would be down the street or over here, over there. It's okay, though. It's good. Right? Enjoy it. Live your life. We're going to have a good time. Let me pray. We'll read, and then we'll just get into it, and we'll just go. Lord, again, we're thankful, and I pray that you just take away distractions and help us to understand the value of wealth and see you working with it and in it. We love you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. This is to the Laodicean church. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. I am rich and increased with goods. I don't think there's anyone in this room that would say that of themselves. Right? But I would say this of myself, and I think we're all the same. Most of my life I was ignorant about wealth. They say about money is the problem with it doesn't come with instructions, right? And if it comes in a lot, if you get a lump sum, it'll destroy some people. But I tell you this about money and wealth. We spend the best strength of our lives trying to get it. We go to school, so, you know, go to a university, try to get a skill so we have some value. So we go back into the marketplace and we're paid a higher wage because we're worth more to that business, right? That's kind of the idea, right? Or we pay the university a lot of money for something, right? Somebody paid them. And, you know, we spend the best strength of our best years. We wake up early. We put our feet in the ground when it's cold and miserable. And we go to work. And we earn money. And we come home. We complain about the workplace. We complain about our jobs. Then when it's our day off, we think about how to spend our money. Or how to get around, get more of it. Or we complain about the debt that we have. And we just are, if you took money out of the conversation, and you took money out of the prayer requests, there wouldn't be a lot of talk going on. So it's a big part of our life. Amen? It is. It is. You can't take money out of the... It's part of my life, too. It's just the way it is. It's probably always have that been that way. Our waking hours, our borrowing and spending it, worrying about it. Yet Haggai... I'll read it. I won't let you turn there because it could take a minute to find it. Just kidding. Ye have sown much, and ye bring in little. But ye have not enough. Ye drink and ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you. Isn't that great? Ye clothe you. Oh, look at that pronoun. Listen to those pronouns at work.
Yeah.
You're doing the work. You're receiving clothing to you. And you're not clothed. It's not working. But there is none warm. Oh, why? This is for us. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Ever feel that way? Man, I hated. There was a time when I had personal debt. I'd go into that factory and I'd work and I'd come home and maybe it was a frustrating day, it was difficult. And you just think, all the money I just earned, it's already gone. Somebody already has it. I'm just treading water, you know, if that. I'm not sinking as fast. And then to get up the next day and do it again and again and again, oh, it just zaps the life out of you. I don't want you to have your life zapped out of you. I want you to be wise with the wealth that God has given you so you can enjoy it and do things that God would have you to do with it. Amen?
Amen.
By the way, if you're nervous about it, I'm not talking about taking an offering or, you know, this is just general. Okay. So it's okay. I had a friend, a pastor friend, he took his wife on their 25-year anniversary a few years back. They went to the Canadian side of Niagara Falls. It's a little nicer there. You know, a few less chemical companies and such like that. And they have a nice walk. Start at really about the Peace Bridge, and you walk toward the fall. The whole Canadian side is a really nice walk. And you can walk right to under the Skyline Towers and right by the falls there. It's really a romantic and nice time. Well, he started his walk, and he wasn't very far, him and his wife, and there was something shiny down on the ground. Brand new coin. I think it was a quarter. Well, he's like, look at that. There's some money down there. Well, he picked it up. Oh, that's a brand. It was like just out of the mint. Really nice. Oh, I just paid 25 cents. You know? I don't know if it was Canadian or American. I don't know. You know? But he said, you know what? I was so happy to find money. He goes, I spent the walk was about an hour and a half. He said, I spent the whole walk. When I got to the end, I realized I never even looked at the falls. I spent my whole journey looking for more money. Maybe there's another coin. And all around him is this beauty and this wonder. He says, I never looked up. It's kind of like our life sometimes. We look around for, oh, another $1.80, another $100, you know. Oh, we miss what's really happening. We miss what's happening in people's lives. We miss seeing God work because we're looking down. We gotta look up. That's the problem. The problem is money doesn't come with instructions. This is the poison. What would you think of a person that we used to, I don't know what they're called now, we used to call them a pusher. It used to be a song that said, God damn the pusher man. When I was a kid, there was a lot of rock music about the drugs and the effect of drugs, you know. And some of them, I got to say, some of those, one or two of those songs kept me out of some of the heavy-duty stuff. There was a song called The Needle and the Spoon. The guy was warning about how stupid it is to get into that. I had a chance to, and I remembered that song. It was funny, you know, God would use a lost song like that, whatever. But what would you think about back in the subject? What would you think about a guy that would lure your children into something? Something that they would just be hooked on, and then he'd just keep them alive just to keep them making, you know, as a customer. They don't love them at all. They just want to use them. Wait, the Bible says that they make merchandise of you. They're just like leeches. They don't want to kill you because then they lose. You have no value at all. But your only value is what you can, like, monthly or daily get to them. You wouldn't think that's a good person. I hope not. Amen? I don't see that any different than a credit card company trying to lure my children when they're 14. Get debt. Oh, you're looking at a good credit rating. You don't have a credit rating. And here, you can use plastic. You can go to JCPenney and pay for it with plastic. That's okay. We'll have easy payments for you. It's a poison. It takes the responsibility of waiting, praying out. I just got this nice plastic card. And the kids get it, and the parents get it, and they get big eyes, and they see something that they want, and they think to themselves, yeah, yeah, I think I'll get it. Live for today, baby. And you're mortgaging your children's future. And now you've got this debt. And oh, I had that card already. And of course I have my mortgage. And of course I got my car payment. And of course I got this. And I got this health care bill. And I'm just swamped with debt. And now I might lose my job and I'm nervous. And what are they going to take my house, right? I'm going to take my house. And you get all this stuff. Listen, the Bible doesn't say that debt is sin. Okay, I want to be clear. Debt itself is not sin, nor is lending sin. Lending to your brother, there were strict rules about usury, about taking it, we call loan sharking, something like that. By the way, neither is being rich sin. Right? But be forewarned. Take your Bible and go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. I have to assume that Black Creek Baptist Church does not have a mortgage. Is that telling me? Amen. I'm safe there. Many churches I go to, the people are in such dire financial need. And I think, frankly, again, I'm maybe on thin ice here, but I think it's frankly because the leadership of the church doesn't teach about money because they don't do it very well.
That's right.
They themselves are like up to their, and their hope, what they'll do is they'll compromise on their preaching because I don't want to offend Brother Big Bucks. Because we're week to week, we're just making budget. When I say we're making budget, he's making my salary.
That's right, brother. That's right.
Or we have a mortgage because we put on this huge addition by faith, right? Yeah, I'm going to live by faith. My wife's name is Faith, and she's going to work at Walmart because I didn't plan very well, right? I'm living by faith, you know, something like that. And they get into this stuff, and they can't teach about money. But you listen to the prayer request. What is the prayer request? Relationship, health, and money. Pray for me. I need a new job. Pray for me. I got this bill, right? Pray for me. We got this. We got that. Let's worry about this. One of the advantages of being a guest is I can blow in, blow up, and blow out. Rich, Proverbs 22, verse 7. The rich ruleth over the poor, comma, and you know the rest, don't you? And the borrower is servant to the lender. Do you like being a servant to somebody else? I want to be free. I want freedom and so on. I want you to be free too. Amen. I want you to be free that when your grandchildren have a need or, you know, there's a need of a brother or sister in the church or something like that, you have the resources to do something. That's a real blessing. But many of you can't. You're just, the wolves are at the door. But you invited them in. You signed it. It's funny how people, this isn't in my notes, but isn't it funny how people are? People are really bizarre. You ask them, I've been in the ministry a long time, and I don't have I might have 1 year experience, 20 years, but I have a little experience. And they try to get a volunteer group to do something. Try to get somebody to be faithful. Most churches, if they can, they'll hire a cleaner because volunteers just don't, they don't do it. They don't show up or whatever. So, you know, if you want it done, you got to pay in a few bucks. We try to get a volunteer group going, and it'll be like, hey, can you meet me here at the church Saturday morning? How about we have a special need, and brother, let's go, let's pray. Can we get together and pray? I can't make that commitment, brother. I can't, you know, I can't. I don't know. I might have to work that day, or you know, Saturday at 10 in the morning. I don't know. That's awful early. You know, all that kind of stuff, right? But the same people, and I've been with them. The same people that can't make a commitment to serve God, because I think their heart is saying, "I'm increased. I don't need to do this. I'm increased with riches, right? I'm rich." They see that four-wheeler or that new car or that motorcycle, it hurts, or that boat, or that kitchen set, or whatever, right? They see something. And their eyes see it. And they wander into the showroom, and maybe they test drive it, or they look and check it out. Oh. Pretty soon, the salesman has them in their mind picturing it's theirs. Go ahead, sit in it, try it out. How does it feel? Does it feel like it's yours? It can be yours for these easy, look at, they got what, 6 or 7 years? 6 or 7 years payments. Your payments will only be $300 a month. You can swing that, can't you? To have this new, what will your friends think when you pull in with this new car, or you come in with this new dining room set or something? Next thing you know is, you're pulling out that pen. Where can I sign? Where can I sign? Well, this is a pretty serious commitment. This is a 7-year commitment. Or this is a 30-year mortgage. You still, you're sure? Yeah! Give me the pen! I want it! I want it! Down the road, you go to the church. Can you commit for a week? Oh, you're asking a lot, right? I don't like to make commitments. Are you kidding? You don't like to make commitments. You sign your life away and your children's life away. It's a poison. It's a poison when we don't manage money very well. 72% of Americans are stressed about money, especially their debt. It affects marriages, it affects your health, and it affects your testimony. It does. And I mentioned already that churches aren't the examples that they could be or should be. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Am I saying that debt is evil? You're a bad person because you have debt? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, look at you. What do you understand? What you do? You've made yourself a servant to that debt. Right? Do you understand that? Don't blame the bank. Don't blame the pusher of the credit card. You signed.
That's right.
They took you. Maybe they they enticed you a little, but you signed. By the way, if you're struggling with debt and you're an impulsive buyer, the best thing you can do is shut off your TV. What is TV? They call it commercial TV, right? And there's commercials on TV. Don't you know they know how to manipulate you? Don't you know that it's a science? They've got it fine-tuned. Don't you know when you go into a modern supermarket like Wegmans or something like that, or Walmart, they know how you shop? They want to separate you from your money while you're there. They've got it down. They study it. It's an engineering, how to get money out of you. And you just walk in there just dumb as a post. Right? Oh, I happen to bring my credit card with me. Sure. I don't think I've maxed it out this month. I've been making the $10 a month minimum payment. I'll have it paid for in 2045. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. These are the blessings and the curses of the nation of Israel. We're in the blessing part. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Oh, Mr. Governor, President, would you please read this? Amen? Father, mom, dad, child with a credit card, would you please read this? Here's what will happen. The Lord shall make thee the head. That is, they will serve you. You'll be the head. And not the tail. You know what happens when you borrow? You become the servant. But also, you become the tail. You realize that? How's the view back there? How's it look back there at the tail? I don't care for the view at the tail. I want to be at the head. Amen?
I want to, you know, without being really ugly and nasty, but at the head, I can steer, I can see what's coming, I can enjoy the view. I don't care for the view at the tail. And I'd say it this way, I don't care to work so hard and put money in a bag with holes. And I made the holes, because I said yes to debt.
Right.
Now, are you saying that debt is evil? No, I'm not. Look, if you get a good mortgage and a good price, good for you. If you can get a 15-year mortgage so that you're making your payments to your principal, not to interest, good for you. Amen? That's good. If you need a car, you really need a car, and you haven't saved any money for a car, and you need to borrow something, but do you need a Cadillac? Won't a Chevy work? Amen? Well, won't a Chevy work? Really? Do you need a new car?
That's right, bro.
Oh, I need a new car smell. Oh, it stinks. I'd smell your money flying away. Amen?
Yeah.
If you can afford a new car, good for you. He's given us all things freely to enjoy. Amen? Good for you. But if you have to get a new car on debt, when you get one that's 2 years old and it's two-thirds the price and your payments are 3 years instead of six, don't be a dope. It's just a car. It's going to get all rusted and broken down anyway. You want to have the liberty to do the things you want to do for your family later on. Don't put yourself, not only are you the servant, but you're putting yourself in like the solitary confinement cell. You know, you're really locking it down. Not so good. Do you need that new four-wheeler? Here's the deal. And I love you guys. You guys have been really great to me. But are you really spending $2,000 at Christmas? Really? You know, being a pastor for a few years and being involved in church, our offerings are always really low January and February. You know why? God's people go out and they feel guilty because they didn't do a nice gift for all their kin, but they try to keep up with the Joneses. They rack up all this Christmas debt. And then the bills come due in January and February. And guess what they don't give to? Guess who doesn't get his money? Guess who they steal from?
That's right.
God, right?
That's right.
Come on, let's, you know, plan ahead. Just put a limit on it. Everybody's going to get $50, right? And we're gonna spend $300 at the most this year. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. Amen? Just be reasonable about that. And, you know, look, at you think I don't see stuff? You don't think I see those new $21,000 BMW R1200 RTs with, you know, 125 horsepower, electric grips, cruise control, you know, those things, you can just do like 120 miles an hour and it feels like you're doing 30. They just are so, don't you think I see that? Yes, don't the police see that too? Look at it. I have a family. Sometimes my girl's needed a battery for a car Sunday. Of course, batteries fail when it's really cold. Dad was able to take her down and buy her a battery. And I like that. If I had done my thing, I wouldn't have money for my daughter's battery. I'd be worried about the machine that's parked in the garage. I can't use it anyway for two more months. Right? Guys, there's some of these, they're spending $10,000 on a snowmobile.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do it, that I just think, hey, great. But if you're doing it by debt, you're a dope.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you're a dope. You're a servant, you're a slave. Be free. You're just covetous, and you just can't control yourself. You should start thinking more of your money in the way that it's a gift from God. Not this is my money and I'll do it. Well, you haven't even earned it yet. Right?
Right.
You it's your life you're signing away. You're making a promise. I promise. What is debt, right? I promise to give you money every month. I don't have the money now, but I promise I'll work for it and I'll give it to you
you give me that nice thing now. Okay, you need a nice thing now that, you know, I'm not saying sell your house and live in a cardboard box. But pay down your debt, get free. My wife and I have been free since 1998.
Yay.
We have no debt. And God has blessed us. People pay us to use our money. They give us interest. That's nice. If a day goes by and we're snowed in and nothing's happening, if I don't get to work or get to a meeting, I don't make any money, you know what? I'm still making money. It's not the other way around. I don't have the stress of saying, I got these bills. We hardly have any bills. I want you to have the same freedom. I'm not boasting, I'm sorry, but I want you to have that same freedom. Amen? It's not a secret. Just lower your debt. Just look at, we don't need, how about this? Why don't we wait and pray? See if God will just give us that thing. Why don't we ask first before we pull out our card? Amen? Where are we? Are we still in Deuteronomy 28? Look at, you know, for times, if you want to, in your notes, you want to look at Deuteronomy chapter 28. From verse 1 to 11, it talks about wealth. But tonight or later, you can check that out. Right now, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 6. Can I say something?
Okay, I will. All
right. We think that preaching has to be like people screaming at us, and that sometimes that's good. Amen? I'm not screaming at you. I'm trying to reason with you. I'm just trying to be reasonable with you. I want you to be free. And if you would just at least consider these things. I may have offended you. I'm not personally attacking anyone. Well, you know, I just want you to do the good thing and the right thing. It's just God's way and it's good. Wealth is from God. It's a tool he uses to teach us about himself. And it's also a tool he uses to test our hearts. Do we love money or do we love God? Do we love the blessing or the blessor? Matthew 6, 19. Chapter 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You know what people love? They love their treasures. How do I know what people love? Just listen to them. Just listen to them talk.
Come on.
It won't take 5 minutes and you know what they love. We talk about what we love. If you talk to me, if you're in a conversation with me at all, you're going to hear motorcycles come up by and by. And I just love to go far and fast on motorcycles. It's a sin, I guess. I don't know. I love to do that. I'll talk about it. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my God. I should talk about him more. Especially in my praying and praising to him. When your love for God supersedes your love for money, good things happen. Don't you know God knows your needs? Have you ever read this, you know, the Sermon on the Mount? Doesn't he know? Oh, you know, the lily, they toil and spin and all, and yet God, they're nothing compared to God's love for you. When money becomes so important that it consumes us, and we worship it. Oh, to get it. When you've been poor, this happens often, when you have not had it, and you wish you've had it for so long. This happens a lot in Vietnam. They've been poor for so many generations. They have an opportunity to make money. You know what they do? They lurch at it. They drop everything, including God, and they grab onto those bucks, right? They hold onto that money, and you can't pry them loose. I was talking about the monkey trap or something like that. They grab they won't let go, right? It'll kill them, but they won't let go. It happens to us too. Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. All our lives we struggle, we struggle, we struggle. Maybe God tests us, or maybe Satan sets a snare for us. Our love for God must always exceed anything, including the blessings that he gives to us. Here's the plan. Let me give you the... You say, well, man, I'm in debt. You know, I have debt. Or I feel like I'm chained to this. I don't want to leave you down. Can I give you the escape plan? Can we do that?
Yeah.
Hebrews chapter 13. You should know this. You should memorize it. Hebrews chapter 13. Let your conversation, that's your manner of life, that's your living, your being, your not just your speaking, but who you are, what you're thinking, and so on. Your conversation is your manners, what you're doing. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, this is so much better than any... Oh, I always had the new this or that. Oh, you got something better than any of that new stuff in the showroom, amen?
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't cost you anything. It's free. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. There's a difference between leaving and forsaking.
Yeah.
He will never leave thee. Some you can leave a person. I had to leave my wife. She's in Hannibal. But I have not forsaken her.
Amen.
Right? Jesus says, I won't even leave you. I won't even do that. Not only that, but you could be with somebody in proximity and you can forsake them. I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about, Peter said, right? I don't know who he is. He was pretty close when he forsook him. Jesus said this, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a deal is that? See if Walmart opens that up, amen? Wow, let's do that one. Count your blessings. Replace with a good book those lousy... Look, you're going to change something in your life. Somehow those stupid videos or that lousy book or that Satanism stuff got in there. Harry Potter, whatever that junk. I don't know, you know. Whatever your sin is, you know what it is, right? Well, get rid of it, but don't just leave a vacuum. Replace it with something good.
Right.
Well, I'm not going to watch Bowling for Dollars anymore. I'm hooked on it. But I'm going to read with my wife. Or my husband, or my kids. Wow, really? We're going to just read a chapter and we're going to talk about it. I'm not going to be a preacher. We're just going to read it. And we're going to find words we don't understand and we're going to look them up.
Amen.
And we're going to just try to have God speak to us. Maybe we'll even begin to pray. Or I'll just read a good novel. I mean, I'll read a good biography or something decent. Can I confess? I like when I'm on the airplanes and I spend a lot of time, I like to read like Louis L'Amour. Because it's just easy, you know? I know he's going to win. It's still like a John Wayne movie. He's going to win, you know? I don't need heavy stuff, and I don't really need to read Ryrie's Doctrine book. Good grief. I get a headache of that stuff. But I can read Louis L'Amour, and it's safe. It's okay, right? It's a family deal. Billiard, you should, in your homes, you should, there should be nothing like off limits.
Right.
There shouldn't be any. The kids aren't allowed in that drawer because you know, something like that. You should stock your house with things they can freely take and watch and listen to and go. Stock your house with good music. Give your children the opportunity and your family the opportunity to hear good things and to read good things. Readers make leaders. Amen. Well, I can't read very well. I couldn't read very well. In fact, I couldn't read at all. I was 20 years old. I got saved, and I wanted to read the Bible. So I think that you know my story. I'd sit there, literally, in my little apartment, and I had a Bible here, and I had a 1828 dictionary in my lap. And it was just, I'd go with two words. Oh, what's that word mean? Literally, verse by verse, word by word, I got to learn this. But I gotta tell you, I was 20 years old. Where has this been for the last 20 years?
Yeah.
Whoa! This is
this guy is either the biggest liar there ever was, or it's the real deal. Yeah. Nobody makes claims like this guy does. Whoa! Right?
This is, and I'd read the psalm, and I'd look at the psalm and say, whoa! That's how I feel!
Yeah.
Only I can't express myself like that.
That's right.
But whoa! I'm there, dude! I'm with that!
Yeah.
How about that? And now we pray and we sing psalms and we read psalms back to the Lord. It's good. Amen?
Amen.
Your escape plan is this. Thou shalt not covet. Put away, stop the bleeding first. Right? Don't add to it. Don't add covetousness to covetousness, because that's where you're getting into trouble. Watch your eyes, especially commercial TV, right? No, they're after you.
Yes, they are.
They're not evil people. It's just commercialism. They're trying to make a buck. They're trying to make your buck. And you don't have a buck, so they're trying to get your credit card buck. Watch your eyes. Don't be covetous. What do you really need? And the second thing is this. Can you just be thankful for where you are? Thank God. Thank God. Thank God I live in Hannibal. I always make jokes about Hannibalies, you know. Lucy and I, we go to the Dollar General. And we sit there and we watch our neighbors. We just laugh at our neighbors. It's our entertainment, you know. We just laugh at them. Who wore their teeth, you know, to the Dollar General? And who didn't take their sweatpants off and just put dress pants over them, you know? It's okay, you know, and then it won't be long and I'll be in that group, you know. There'll be somebody will be laughing at me, you know. That's Hannibal, you know. It's the way it is. It's welcome to Hannibal on each side of the sign that's been shotgunned, you know, and all kinds of stuff. So it's okay. We're Hannibillies. Thank God for it, amen. Thank God for Black Creek. Taxes aren't as bad here as they are in some places. Amen. You know each other. You know your neighbors, and it's okay. Count your blessings. I gotta tell you, you only have one heart. I gotta quit soon. I'm feeling really good now.
Yeah.
You only have one heart, right? In that heart, I just think of it like this little corners and secrets, like not in the main part, but. There's a little bitterness and envy and anger and jealousy, and it's kind of cultivated, you know. It's just there because you've grown accustomed to it. But I got to tell you, when you start putting in that one heart, when you're just thankful, I just count my blessings, and that heart just swells up with thankfulness and love for God. There's no room for bitterness. It's got to go. Sorry, that space that was used for envy, it's out of here. I'm parking some thankfulness there now.
Yeah,
and you just come to your life and you go to work and say, you know what? Today I might actually keep a buck that I make. You know? And I'm not looking at this as drudgery anymore. This is my mission field. I get to meet some of these people that I hated before, those jerks, and now I've been praying for them. I'm going to practice. I'm going to exercise some of the things I've been learning. I'm going to try to be like a discipler. I'm going to try to be a friend. I'm going to try to be a soul winner. I'm just going to try to like pray for my friend. I'm going to see if Jesus, is it true? Can Jesus really do that in me? He's giving me a mission field. You know what? And while I'm at the mission field of where I work, they pay me. They pay me to practice Christianity. How about that? Pretty good deal. Maybe at the end of the day, I won't be a servant to the debtors. I'll be free. And I can have something for my children and my children's children. Amen? I hope that gives you an escape path. Money does not come with instructions. But we have the life service manual here. Amen. We can do it. You guys can do it. I don't want to ask you, but if I ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have some debt? And how many of you have debt that it's a problem? And you worry about it. You think about it. Wouldn't it be nice if we just followed God's plan and worked it down? It's not going to happen overnight. Amen.
going to work it down. We're going to first stop the bleeding. We're not going to buy any more stuff on credit unless we really, really have to. We're going to start a little emergency fund. We're going to learn to keep $300 just for an emergency. Well, what kind of, well, it's an emergency. I don't know, you know. You shouldn't have to borrow money to replace your fan belt. Amen? You should have a little bit. And then slowly but surely, work that stuff down and get that stuff down. And slowly but surely, I'm free. Praise God, I'm free. Amen? Well, we're free to do things that are good things. If I say any more, I'm just being redundant, Pastor. So I'll turn it over to you. I enjoy it. This is really, I could really go on.
I think everybody here has enjoyed it.
Feeling good today. Must be the white shirt.
Yeah.